Welcome to our midweek Bible study. If you would, open up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Hopefully throughout this course today that we'll be able to cover verses 12 through 15. But I want to go back and look at verses 8 through 11 again because they give us a good direction on where verses 12 through 15 are going. So looking back at verse 8, it says, "But since we are of the day, let us be sober." We talked about the idea of self-controlled, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. It's faith and love that protect our heart spiritually within Jesus. And so the idea of faith and love have to be the centerpieces of how we go about this life. He says, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. And we're looking forward in our thinking to knowing that we've been paid for eternally, and we want to maintain faithfulness in our love toward Jesus and the Lord and toward one another. Verse 9, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." Our destiny in Jesus, if we'll be faithful and loving, is salvation. Then verse 10, "Who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with Him." This is the hope we have, that in being faithful to the Lord, not only do we live with Him now, that after we physically die, we're still going to be alive. We're going to be alive together with Him. And then in verse 11, He says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing." Now, verse 12 and 13 are going to work off of verse 11. And as you look through these things, even verses 14 and 15 are going to work off of the idea of having put on the breastplate of faith and love. And the idea of being sober and alert. We're going to have to be self-controlled in how we go about our lives in Jesus. It's not about just doing things however we used to do them, or how we want to see them done, or what's moving forward. So in verse 11, whenever Paul writes, encourage one another and build up one another. Do you ever find times where you wish you were encouraged? That someone would come alongside of you and point to Jesus? Because that's where encouragement comes from. Because we know we're tied with Jesus. Our old self's been crucified with Him. And now we stand in Jesus with the strength that only He can give and only that He can foster. So now look at verse 12. "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another." Paul says, we have a request for you. Our request, brethren, is that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you. Appreciation, maybe you think in terms of honor, respect. He says, appreciate, honor, respect those who diligently labor among you. Think about those of the body of Christ that you know who diligently labor. People can diligently labor in a lot of things. Some people diligently labor whenever they see that someone has a need. You can count on them. Diligence is about never letting up. If you want an example, think of how diligently the sun is to rise in the east. It always happens. Whenever you look and see others who are diligently laboring, do you appreciate them? So many times people hear of, it's so-and-so appreciation day. That means we give them a gift. That's not what he's talking about here at all. He's saying, where have you set them in your heart? Do you really appreciate them? Do you appreciate why they're diligent in their laboring? Do you appreciate that it's out of love and faith in Jesus? and because they have a hope of salvation? Do you appreciate that they're self-controlled? When people are diligent in some area, it's because they're giving up other aspects of things that aren't worthwhile. Maybe you think of people who are diligent maybe just to send cards to other people whenever they're sick or whenever they've been through a difficulty in life. Maybe you've been on the receiving end of one of those cards. Then you come to find out they sent them to other people too. You realize, well, they're diligent in that. They diligently labor among you. This can apply to all kinds of areas. It can be in things that are simple. It can be things that only take 10 or 15 minutes a week. It can be things that take hours every week. But do you appreciate those who are diligent? You might think, well, I don't know who the diligent people are. They're the people who you know you can count on. Those are the diligent people. They're not going to let you down. Even though we know as human beings, we fail. But the idea is, do you appreciate them? Will you tell them that you appreciate them? It's not that the labor is done for notice of others. But every once in a while, when you work hard and you're diligent at something, do you ever think, I wonder if anybody even knows that I'm alive? I'll give you one real quick and easy. The only reason you're able to listen to this lesson is because there are people who have the know-how to get these things up on a website. And they're diligent to do them. Do you appreciate that effort? Have you ever told them that you appreciate them? Notice how this continues. That you appreciate, number one, those who diligently labor among you. Number two, you appreciate those who have charge over you in the Lord. Now think about that one for a moment. It's got a few different levels. But number one, do you appreciate the shepherds and overseers? They have charge over you and the Lord. So many times when people submit to others, their first role is, well, let me find something to complain about. You know what? In a marriage, the husband has charge over the wife. And that's given from the Lord. Some wives go around seeking to find some reason why they shouldn't have to do that. Sometimes people bring that mindset with the shepherds and the overseers. Or do you appreciate those who have charge over you in the Lord? Do you appreciate them all the way to responding out of faith and love? We're going to come back to that one and these others here in a moment because we need another layer to it. Have charge over you in the Lord. Do you appreciate those who give you instruction? And the idea here is spiritual instruction from the Lord and from Scripture. Is there an appreciation for them? This kind of makes me feel a little uncomfortable. I'm not one to want to tell you you should appreciate me. But the idea here is, it's not just about me. Think about all those who give instruction from Scripture. Can you have an appreciation for the Scriptures and the Christ that they lead you to? Can you have that kind of appreciation to know, I'm not going to get this from other places during the week? So often we think, well, I can go online and I can find all kinds of stuff. Well, you can find a lot of junk. And there are some things you can find that are good. But is it always tied soundly to Jesus and to His Scripture? And to not be bent in someone's idea the way it should go. Think of how many people give instruction. And it's not just about the idea of public instruction. Ever had a conversation with someone? Just a brother or sister in Christ? And you start to mention the direction you think you're going to go and they say, have you thought about this verse to tell you you need to go in a different direction? Do you appreciate them? how the Lord has used them to get His word into your life and your thinking so that you can avoid trouble and difficulty? So when you get to verse 12 here, he says, Paul says, we have a request of you. Paul and Silas. He says, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you, that have charge over you in the Lord, and give you instruction. Do you appreciate saints who do those things? Do you appreciate the diligent? Do you appreciate those who teach and give instruction? Looking at Jesus? Do you appreciate those who have charge over you in the Lord? Look at verse 13. And that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. That you esteem them very highly in love. Now, think back to the verses before here. Having put on the breastplate of faith and love. Faith and love working together. Self-controlled, being alert. He says that you esteem them very highly. What's your opinion of those people? What's your opinion of the diligent? What is your opinion of those who have charge over you? What's your opinion of those who give instruction? He says, you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. You may think, well, how does that happen? Well, let's go back through and do some thinking in verse 12. How do you esteem very highly in love those who diligently labor among you? When you realize that you're among those who are diligent in whatever area they're working in, how do you love them? First of all, comes appreciation. Second of all, maybe I find a way that I can help them in their diligent labor. Maybe I can help them and relieve the burden off of their back. Wouldn't that be a high opinion? Wouldn't that be love for them? Well, let's take continue down through verse 12. Have charge over you in the Lord. How do I esteem them very highly in love? Well, what about when someone brings a charge against those? They have an opinion that's contrary about those who have charge over us. What's love going to say? How are you going to respond now? It's going to take faith. It's going to take love. We're going to say, have you talked to them about that? Have you talked to one of the shepherds about this concern you have? If someone brings up some slanderous remark against the shepherds, what does love do? Oh, I guess you're right. No. Love says, go talk to them. Love says, if you have a trouble, you need to talk. You need to work out a love. Now, we're going to see some temperance on this one here in a minute. There's going to be some more instruction. Then you take it to the next part. How do you highly esteem in love those who give you instruction? You respond to the teaching. You respond out of faith and love to the words of Jesus and the teachings of the apostles and the prophets that they're trying to instruct you in. That's how you love teachers. Because Jesus is the master teacher. And that's how you diligently love Him and highly esteem Him. You take what He teaches and institute it in your life and change your heart to respond out of faith. That's how you highly esteem. He says, you highly esteem them very highly in love because of their work. It takes great work to diligently labor. It takes great work to have charge over others. Remember, going to give an account for the souls that are put under their charge. And it takes a lot of work to give instruction. At least instruction that's helpful and encouraging and accurate. And you know what that does? It encourages one another, and it builds one another up when this is our attitude about things. Because if you look at the end of verse 13, he says, live in peace with one another. Live in peace. Sometimes that means I'm not going to say what I think. Sometimes living in peace means I have to labor extra hard. Sometimes living in peace just simply means I need to pay attention to the instruction. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 50, Jesus is talking, and he says, have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. You want to know what will always bring peace? If you'll listen to Jesus and do it. What about forgiving? What about being patient? We'll see that one here in a moment. Live in peace with one another. That's the goal underneath the heading of truth in Jesus. Living at peace with one another. Because these are all about the spiritual family. How's this spiritual family going to get along? Notice those who are diligently laboring, offer to help. Those who have charge over you in the Lord, have faith and trust them. If you have questions, ask. But ask them out of humility, not out of arrogance. How do you have peace with one another? And receive the instruction and take it well. Humility again. Now look at verse 14. We urge you, brethren. Now notice, verse 12, we request of you, brethren. Verse 14, we urge you, brethren. We want to encourage you in this. Admonish the unruly. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. We urge you, brethren. You're going to have to do this. Admonish the unruly. Warn them. Unruly is actually a military term. It's the idea of someone being out of rank or out of line. There are times where our mouths get unruly. There are times where people become slanderous toward others. There are times where people think their opinion should reign over everybody else's. And he says, what do you do when people get out of line? What do you do when they're undisciplined? Here's the real idea. If you remember back to verse 8, let us be sober. Let us be self-controlled. What do you do with somebody who refuses to come under the control of Jesus? You better warn them. It's not a threat. It's a warning. Because you're not just working against people. You're working against Jesus. And he has all authority and he reigns. And it takes faith to do that. It takes faith to trust it. And you can't warn them in terms of, this is what I think. Get away from that. Look at Scripture and you correct them from Scripture. Because they can discredit anybody's opinion. You can't rip the verses out of the Scripture and say they're not there anymore. When you warn somebody who's unruly and out of line, find the Scripture and out of faith and love, take it to them. Because you'll need your heart protected with the breastplate of faith and love. But if you really love them, you'll warn them. Because what happens to the unruly if they're not warned? They'll march straight back into the grips of death. Spiritual death. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly. Encourage the faint-hearted. Faint-hearted are people who kind of have a diminishing motivation for reaching the goal. And the goal is to live together with Jesus now and in eternity. The idea is being at one with Jesus. But sometimes we just get faint-hearted. We just don't know if we can do it anymore. What do you do with somebody who's ready to give up? They've lost heart. Well, you encourage them. Maybe you've been on the receiving end of this. Maybe you've been on the encouraging end of this. There are times where people want to give up. If you're to read it over in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, if you want to deal with those who are faint-hearted and weak, and they're going to give up, you're going to have them look at Jesus. That's what encourages the faint-hearted. This is what Jesus responds to. And if you want strength from Him, here's the direction you have to go. Sometimes it means being forgiving. Sometimes it means being willing to step out and go further. Sometimes people get faint-hearted because they've been beaten down by others. To encourage them may sometimes mean to stand with them in what is right. If you never had anybody stand with you and someone does, it's about the most encouraging thing you can encounter with Christ. To know through any difficulties that you endure or you grow faint-hearted, who do you want to comfort you? Don't you want to know that the Lord stands with you and that He'll strengthen you? And that gives the encouragement that's needed to the faint-hearted. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak. This weakness, it can be a spiritual weakness, it can be a physical weakness. Maybe you think about the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 9:22. He said, to the weak I became like the weak so that I might win the weak. He says, help them. Help give them strength. If you've ever had any kind of surgery, maybe that you even required to have to do some physical therapy, maybe a weak shoulder, a weak elbow, the idea is, if the weakness is going to be made stronger, it's going to take two things. Someone to help the weakness, and the weak to want to have to grow, to have the desire to do something about it and to grow. Sometimes when it's a physical weakness that's not going to be changed, just the help is what's needed. Help the weak. It's not the idea of do everything for the weak. The picture is, how do you help them? Sometimes the mindset is what needs to be helped. Sometimes the desire of the heart needs to be helped. Sometimes it is just a physical weakness. And you try and find a way to help that. If you notice, he kind of finishes with this overall thought at the end of 14, verse 14, for all three. Be patient with everyone. The unruly don't always respond immediately. You might just have to be patient. If you remember 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient and love is kind. And if you're going to wear the breastplate of faith and love, we'll have to be a patient people. Patient with the unruly, warn them. Be patient with them before and after. Encourage the faint-hearted. They may not take it right away. Be patient with them. Give them another opportunity. Help the weak. Be patient. Be long-suffering with them. Remember, you once were weak too. You once were faint-hearted too. You might have very well been unruly at one point. We for certain sure were when before we came into Christ. Sometimes the unruly, they want to mess up what's going on. Sometimes people want to encourage the faint-hearted, and that's great. Help the weak. Sometimes those, it says in verse 12, appreciate those who have charge over you in the Lord. What if you deal with someone who's unruly? What if they tell you about it? Will you admonish them and warn them? You're going against the leadership that Jesus established and His Spirit appointed. Do you realize you are working directly in the face of God? You admonish the unruly. You encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. No exceptions. Verse 15. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Whenever you're going to admonish the unruly, you might just get evil back in return. Be patient. Be loving and faithful. Whenever you encourage the faint-hearted, they may not like it at first. Be patient and don't give back evil for evil. Sometimes people don't want to recognize they're weak. And they'll just stick it right in your face. Will you be loving and patient? See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another. The unruly need to hear what God desires. That'll be beneficial for them. That'll be good. Encourage the faint-hearted. What would be good for them is if they can find the motive and the drive that's found in Jesus to encourage them to keep going toward the goal. That would be good for them. Help the weak. When they feel like they've been left behind by everyone, will you show them what is good? Because that's what they need. And that's what we should be encouraging one another in as we live in peace with one another. If you notice at the end of verse 15, he says, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Notice it doesn't say, seek after that which is good for me. Don't be self-centered. Don't be selfish. Seek after that which is good for one another, for all people. It may mean that you diligently labor for others who have no concern but to give you evil. It may mean that for shepherds who are in charge over the Lord, that they have to take themselves out of the picture and go, what is good for the people, for the saints, for the body of Christ, and not what's easiest for me? For those who give instruction, it's not always going to be taken well. You may get evil in return, but will you seek that which is good for one another and for all people? Read through these verses again. Think about them. Meditate about them. Ask yourself, do I need to make some differences? Do I need to hold my tongue? Do I need to look for opportunities with others? Are there people who are working so hard that they're about to grow faint-hearted and I need to offer them some help? What's my attitude toward the overseers and the shepherds? What about toward those who give instruction? Am I going to live in peace? Am I going to be motivated by faith and love? Because they're the breastplate that cover my spiritual heart. Because if I don't listen to these things, I can't have a hope of salvation. I can't hope to render evil to others and to respond with the same. Consider these verses well. It'll bless your soul. And farewell until we meet again.